It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com and on the 77 WABC app. Yep, thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings continue to prove the popularity of this program. We're once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Thank you for the confidence that you place in us to deliver for you great business content. And of course, tonight's show is no different. But not only that, it's a critical show. We've been talking about it for the last few weeks. We are going to feature, tonight's show is exclusively featuring everything that you need to know about the SBA Payroll Protection Program. Now, I shouldn't say everything because it's a very big, it's a big law that was passed very quickly by the federal government. And of course, so many Americans, millions of Americans were affected in one way or the other because it went through small businesses and it grew from that point. And therefore, tonight's show is brought to you by Investors Bank. We are going to be featuring Mark Noto, Head of Commercial Banking at Investors Bank, and Michael Percy, CPA, Managing Partner at Crow LLP. But just to finish with the intro, special thank you to the great team here at BLMG, Srili, Michal, Abigail, Malka, Osher, Miriam, thank you. They play a support role for this program. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, Glenn, James, Matt, Leslie, Chris, and Tim. Also, a reminder that all past episodes you can pick up by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's so you could hear the interview I had with Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at GE, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Shep Hyken, world-renowned customer service expert, and so many other great business leaders out there. They're all available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's guest, Mark Noto, Head of Commercial Banking at Investors Bank, Michael Percy, CPA Managing Partner. A little background about our distinguished guest. Mark leads Investors Bank's the lenders in both New Jersey and New York to diversify the loan portfolio actually of $4 billion, and investors by increasing commercial and industrial lending and specialized finance. Mark aligns the bank's four specialized business lending departments: healthcare, equipment finance, cash surrender value life insurance, and equity-sponsored finance. Michael Percy, with over three decades in the industry, oversees the solutions and services that Crow provides to more than 1,800 financial services organizations throughout the United States. The practice services a wide range of financial institutions, from community banks to a majority of the top financial institutions throughout the U.S. His professional experience includes PPP loan origination and forgiveness. And that's why we have both of them on tonight's show. Thank you so much, Mark and Michael, for joining me here for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business.
Thank you, Yitzhak.
Well, I'm going to turn to Mike first. Actually, I'll turn to Mark first, Mr. Noto. Can you please describe the current economic climate in New York and New Jersey? What are you seeing with your clients?
At this point, everybody, the normal reaction is to be a bit cautious in every way with your business, whether it comes to how you're spending, who you're selling, who you bank with. Right now is a time for people to basically, sit tight, think out every move. So, prior to this pandemic, mm-hmm. we probably were off to one of our better years in the last, since I've been with the bank, going back to 2012. So we were hitting it hard pretty early. And for the most part, at this point, once the pandemic took hold, I think the environment definitely slowed down, both, for us from a credit perspective and from the client's perspective. Originally we thought, the knee-jerk reaction was, well, it's going to affect hospitality. It's going to affect restaurants. As you start to peel the onion, the real question is, what industry has not been affected? Yeah. I mean, we found funeral homes that couldn't bury people. We found, way beyond restaurants and hotels, almost every industry either had a supply problem, couldn't get goods, or they lost their market, or they had to totally shut down. So, I mean, under that circumstance, everybody kind of digs in and looks for whatever help they can get. And they have to make moves on their own as far as I said before, expense control, making sure you're buying right. And if you're shut down, I mean, that's a whole nother ball game, but, you know, you try and, everybody's in a survival mode at this point, if I had to sum it up.
Yeah. Now, how is Investors Bank helping businesses during this challenging time?
Well, I mean, it's on multi fronts. I mean, for the most part, I mean, we're a large community bank. We thrive when our customers thrive. And, you know, that's the main point is to help people survive. Now, I mean, immediately the bank, we started to basically defer payments upon request from our customers. And as of right now, we, deferred payments on about 3,300 loans. For $56 million of payments. That's cash flow that we have not basically collected over the last 3 months. And that $56 million represents three months of payments on over $4.3 billion of debt that's owed to the bank. So, I mean, that was the first thing we did. Secondly, we got involved with the PPP program. Now, you have to understand, I mean, we're a little bit different than some of our competition in the fact that we took it from ground zero, wow, straight up to the fact that we went out and processed over 2,200 of these loans. We still have some in the pipeline right now, I believe, representing another 1.6 million. But as of right now, we've approved almost 1,900 loans for $331 million. And that number was slightly higher, but we've had some repayments. Some people backed out of the program as the program started to evolve. They felt it wasn't for them. So we were a bit higher than that. But those are the two primary things that the bank did. I mean, for the most part, I mean, Investors Bank, so we've been a good partner with the community. Mm-hmm. We do a lot through the foundation, and that's just par for the course. That's the type of bank we are, and that's how our executive team runs the bank. So we're always there with a... you know, we're ready to help when we need to. But these were two more organized types of help that we provided our customers as well.
I'm going to turn to Michael now, Michael Percy, CPA Managing Partner at Crow. Not for specific guidance or direction, but just perhaps you can give an overview about the SBA's Paycheck Protection Program.
Sure. So when the pandemic hit and the economy pretty much slowed down and closed down in a lot of parts of the country, Congress passed the CARES Act, and the CARES Act had a lot of tools in it to kind of help businesses and individuals through the economic aspects of this. And one of those was the PPP. And basically Congress then set up Treasury to administer the program, and Treasury relies on the SBA, which is really who handles small business lending, is the agency kind of designed for that, to enact the rules and really administer the program. So at its core, it's designed really to help small businesses keep their workers employed. And so with the idea that this is kind of a stopgap, if we can keep employees with their current small business employers, as we work through this, hopefully the economy will rebound quicker because you have an embedded workforce and we can get going that much quicker. So the PPP was designed for small businesses, and that was defined as businesses who employed 500 or less people. Mm-hmm. There were some exceptions around that. But in general, if you think of under this program, it's a business with 500 or fewer. And then unique to this is that they also included nonprofits as, you know, one of those businesses that are eligible under the program. That's not normal in the SBA, but nonprofits employ a lot of people. And again, this whole program was designed to keep people employed, and really just kind of hopefully bridge that gap, which people were estimating at that time might be 2 to 3 months. And so a lot of the initial parts of the program were really to, you know, get over that kind of hurdle, a 2 to 3 month hurdle. And then the other thing it did is recognize, well, some small businesses are really small. They're just individuals who don't even have employees. So those people were pulled in as well, those sole proprietors and even contractors who weren't employees in a business, but they, you know, they contracted their service to a business. Those people were pulled in as well, and they had the ability to kind of participate in this and receive some funds that could hopefully, again, bridge that gap.
You're tuned to a special edition of Mind Your Business this evening, dedicated to covering the SBA's Paycheck Protection Program. Before we go to a commercial break, just want to remind the listeners, this show is recorded during the week of June 15th. And because there's legislation and laws that sometimes change in a moment's notice, of course, always make sure to check based on whenever you'll be listening to this. Many are listening, of course, on the evening of Sunday, June 21st. And then there are many that are going to be listening on the podcast at a later date. Please realize this was recorded during the week of June 15th, number one. Number two, as always, for specific guidance, contact your financial professional for any type of specific questions that you may have. Tonight's show is covering the general guidelines that, as we know it as of now, regarding PPP. But again, for specific questions, contact your local professional financial advisor. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Hi, I'm Navy Petty Officer Kervin Simonis from Brooklyn, New York. I'm currently serving aboard Naval Base Coronado in San Diego, California, providing the Navy the nation's needs. I want to wish my father, Leslie Simonis, a happy Father's Day. I love you, Dad.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times of the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saftless right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's show is all about the SBA's Paycheck Protection Program. It is brought to you by Investors Bank. Investors Bank has been behind a number of shows over the last few months, all in an effort to help small businesses, entrepreneurs, large businesses survive and thrive this very difficult, challenging time. With over 150 branches throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area, they certainly are a beacon of light to small businesses, and of course to, you know, anyone out there who banks at Investors Bank knows what I'm talking about. So you could always visit them online or stop into a local branch to find out more information how they can help you throughout, you know, this difficult journey. My guests this evening are Mark Noto, head of commercial banking at Investors Bank, and Michael Percy, CPA, managing partner at Crowe. Thank you. I'm going to open by turning to Mr. Noto. Mark, what customers were most attracted to the SBA's payroll protection program?
It's like I'd have to say probably 2 days starting the program, probably 100% of our customer base was interested or attracted to the program. I mean, there was a lot of information out there swirling as far as how or why you should, you know, enroll, what you could get, what business types it really made sense for. So I think everybody took the approach, you know what, let me give it a shot and see what it's all about. That got a little bit more complex as the SBA, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination condemning the SBA for the rollout, because I think behind the program is a tremendous amount of good intention,
right,
from the federal government to kind of keep people, I guess, in place or businesses in place through this pandemic.
Right.
So there was a lot of good intention, but, you know, everybody was trying to roll this thing out in probably under a month. And quite frankly, I mean, you make mistakes.
Right.
We were getting updates or even improvements on a daily basis. There are usually daily informational pieces that come out. So as the information solidified, I think a lot of the customer base started to realize, well, maybe it's not for me. Maybe my company's too big. Maybe my company's too small. So there was a lot of self-elimination.
Right.
I guess it was a sense of practicality, if it really made sense to move forward with the program. But at this point, I mean, I think it probably took about 30% out of that 100% number pretty quickly.
Right.
And I think people have realized as part two comes into effect, part one was a very jumpy, fragmented process for a lot of the banks. For the SBA, there was a very low funding rate on the first round of PPP because of the confusion between all of the banking industry and the Fed or the SBA. And so it left a little bit of a bad taste in a lot of clients' mouths, and I think some pulled back or lacked confidence. But I think I know our bank was ready big time for the second round. And it was our goal to not leave anybody either who applied in the first round or during the second round funding. We weren't going to leave anybody behind. So at that point, we were at 100% satisfaction rate for round two.
Okay.
And, you know, now the next step is going to be forgiveness. And, you know, at this point, because, you know, we want to be on top of this part of the program, because I think it's the most important part. You know, we went out, you know, we brought Crowe in. We're partnering up with them on this process because we want to make this a very positive customer experience. We want to make it as easy as possible for people to get the maximum amount of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not a time for our customer base to get hurt by making a simple mathematical miscalculation. You know, so part of us, you know, we're in there with Crowe to kind of protect our customer base. And we want the experience to be top notch. So, you know, we're moving forward. Now it's about getting these people forgiven.
Got it. So now I'm going to turn to Mr. Percy. Michael, it seems like the possible forgiveness element, in addition to the loan interest rate, made PPP attractive. So the obvious question now is, how much of the loan can a borrower get forgiven?
Sure. For a lot of borrowers, they're going to be able to get the entire amount forgiven. And this is one of those great cases where Treasury and the SBA and the borrower and the lender all have interest aligned. Everyone's interested in having all or as much as possible of that loan forgiven, because that means that the loan will have been used for its intended purpose. So there's really three general elements that kind of impact that loan forgiveness. The first is that the funds are used for the specific permitted purposes. The second would be that the business maintained their employees or they rehired them by the original part of the program was by June 30th. The recent legislation extend that to December 31st. We can probably get into some of those dates mm-hmm. a little later. Mm-hmm. And then the third is that they were able to maintain the wages of protected employees. And protected employees in this means anyone who made less than $100,000. And they didn't, the program didn't want people to drop people's wages significantly. So there's limits on how far you can cut someone's wages and still get full forgiveness in the program.
Got it. Now, before I go to the next question, I just want to remind the listeners that this show, which of course is airing on Sunday, June 21st, was recorded during the week of June 15th. And because legislation and laws are, you know, the federal government does release from time to time updates to the program, please make sure to check as you listen to the show, and of course to the many thousands that tune in by on Spotify and on iTunes, you know, and listen to the podcast. Please realize that this was recorded during the week of mid-June 15th. In addition, for very specific guidance, make sure to contact your individual financial advisor in order to make sure that you're, you know, properly protected. But of course, Michael is one of the leading experts out there, and he's sharing very important direction. I now turn to one of the big questions about the SBA's PPP, and that is permitted use of funds. We understand that they definitely are incentivizing businesses to use those funds for payroll. We get that. What other avenues are there for a business to use the funds in a permitted way?
Sure. And there's two uses of funds that are permitted. And you mentioned the primary one, the important one, payroll. And payroll is just what it sounds like, you know, really cash compensation that the business is paying their employees. And then there's a measurement period from when the borrower received the loan proceeds. You kind of measure that out at 8 weeks. And that was what the program was designed to do, is have the borrower use those funds to make payroll for that period. Ultimately, that through recent legislation was extended to now up to 24 weeks. So, but that's the payroll element. Now, the non-payroll allows the borrower to use up to 40% of that whole loan amount for these non-payroll costs. And there's really three of them. There's rent, there's utility payments, and there's mortgage interest. So the rent, basically the requirement there is that a borrower had a lease in place before February 15th when the CARES Act was passed. And then so the rent payments they make during that 8 week period or the extended period, those can be used as proceeds that the borrower used to then be forgiven. And then utilities would include, you know, electric, gas, water, transportation, fuel, internet. So, you know, kind of a broad mm-hmm. use of what are all those utilities a business might have. All of that that they paid during that period can be used for forgiveness as well. And then finally, the interest expense on mortgage or personal property loans that, again, the loans had to be in place before the CARES Act of February 15th, but that interest component, not the principal, but the interest component is able to be forgiven as well.
Now, Michael, I'm going to, if it's okay, even toss in, over the last few weeks, we did let the listeners know that that we were going to have this special edition, and there was a variety of questions that came in through various channels. In fact, here, Jimmy from Brooklyn asked the following, and I think it relates to what you just mentioned. Are there any restrictions on how the money is used? For example, can I use it to pay off old debt? Can I use it for building repairs? Can I use it for new computer equipment? Again, thank you, Jimmy, for that question. Michael, how would you tackle that?
Sure. Great question, and shows that businesses have lots of expenditures they have to make, not just the ones that were kind of covered here. But really, to get full forgiveness, it's only the expenditures that we covered, those payrolls and those three categories of non-qualified or of qualified non-payroll that can be used to that the proceeds were supposed to be used for. So when the borrower entered into the loan agreement, that was one of their certifications that indicated that they had the need, they're going to use it for these purposes. And that's what the forgiveness calculation is based on. So businesses can have those other expenditures, but you can't use that as justification for forgiveness.
Now, if I may, this is a delicate question. I'm not sure even if the government has this all sorted out, but I'll just ask it. If a business uses some of the funds for business purposes, but not its intended use, does that disqualify them for loan forgiveness?
It would disqualify that portion of usage for forgiveness. So, what they can be forgiven is what were the permitted uses. So, as long as they spent, most of the money on the payroll, right, 60% of it, that's all going to be forgiven. If it's payroll related, and then those other qualified, they'll be forgiven. So if they spend it on these other uses, it's not going to be part of the forgiveness calc at all.
Okay. But for many businesses that have those needs, it's worth it for the 1% interest rate, if that's what they deem necessary.
It is a good rate.
My guests this evening are Mark Noto, Head of Commercial Banking at Investors Bank, and Michael Percy, CPA Managing Partner at Crow. Tonight's show is exclusively covering the SBA's Payroll Protection Program. Two important notes. The info shared on tonight's program is as of midweek, June 15th. Just please keep that in perspective whenever you're listening to this program. And also, as always, please contact your local financial advisor for any specific guidance that you may have for your business. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you struggling to have your voice heard in a loud, busy, and overwhelming environment? It takes 6 seconds or less for consumers to form an impression of your brand. You cannot afford to get drowned out by the world. Having a clear corporate narrative will help your business stand out and go from surviving to thriving. Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, has been helping brands craft their corporate narrative for nearly 3 decades. BLMG put together a guide to help businesses speak with authority and take control of your corporate narrative. Visit BrandStory2020.com for your free Surviving to Thriving Executive Guide for Business Growth. That's BrandStory2020.com to get your free executive guide to helping your business scale. Again, that's BrandStory2020.com. If your business is ready to thrive, visit BrandStory2020.com. BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group. Get ready to tell your story.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off, versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest for tonight's special program is Mark Noto, Head of Commercial Banking at Investors Bank, and Michael Percy, CPA Managing Partner at Crow LLP. They are they're very busy people, but they did carve out of their very hectic schedules to make time for the listeners here on 77 WABC to discuss the SBA's Payroll Protection Program. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Michael, for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm going to now turn to Mike. You mentioned before in the program that there were two sets of dates. What did you mean by that?
Sure, and it can probably seem confusing to the listeners. Mark and I have been living this one for months, and it can be confusing to us. But right. It's good news that there's two sets of dates. The 8-week period that I refer to when the CARES Act was passed and the PPP program was stood up, the rules spoke to this 8-week period that a borrower could use the proceeds over and get forgiveness. And kind of as time has gone on and this has played out, and a number of businesses were closed and really they were not able to open up by statute, by right. You know, the
right.
economy.
The government kept them closed.
Geographies.
Yeah. The government.
Yeah, exactly. And so the businesses just couldn't do anything. And Congress recognized that and basically said, okay, well, that was not our intended consequence. So recently, within the last 2 weeks, they passed legislation that adjusted that time period and now allows a borrower to use up to 24 weeks, which takes to the end of the year. So the expectation is, okay, within that time frame, hopefully most businesses should be able to open up. They should be able to use the loan proceeds for the intended purposes, which is to cover payroll, cover these other non-payroll costs. And over that period of time, they should be able to reach full forgiveness of the loan by using those proceeds for the right purpose. So that's when I refer to 8 weeks and 24 weeks. It's that the 24 weeks came about in the recent legislation that really extended the period. So borrowers aren't required to use that. A lot of the borrowers, went into this program expecting to use it over 8 weeks, actually have used the proceeds over that period of time and can obtain forgiveness in that time frame. But there's a lot of other borrowers that this really allows them to reopen their business, have their workforce in place, pay the people, and then still achieve full forgiveness.
Now, Michael, we're going to get to a detailed question. I hope it's okay. Again, you're one of the leading voices out there that has the experience and the knowledge about the SBA's PPP. So let me ask, if a borrower uses the loan proceeds for payroll and, of course, the qualified non-payroll costs, will they be fully forgiven?
For many borrowers, hopefully most borrowers, that will be the result. So they need to do some things to make certain they do it to achieve that full forgiveness. So one of the things they'll need to do is make certain that they use at least 60% of that loan amount for payroll costs, and then up to 40% can be used for those non-payroll costs, the rent, utilities, and mortgage interest. But then there's two additional consideration that the borrower kind of has to keep in their mind around, not reducing the number of employees or significantly reducing the compensation of the employees. So let me talk about those a little bit. And again, this whole rule around this is designed to motivate small businesses to keep their employees or at least hire them back by the end of that forgiveness period. Mm-hmm. And also to not make kind of draconian cuts to how much people are paid. So that's what's motivating the borrowers, and that's why these rules are in place. That's what you need to do to achieve full forgiveness. So there are some complexities around these, but let me try and simplify them a little bit. So an employer must maintain the same number of employees they had when they started, when they received the loan proceeds. So there's some exceptions to that. So, for example, if an employer has to remove an employee for cause, that's not held against them. Or if you had to lay some people off, but you rehire them by that June 30th date or the December 31st date, again, that's not held against you because you rehired them. Or even if you offered to rehire someone, but they decided not to come back for some reason, maybe they took a job elsewhere, again, that's not held against you because you made a good faith effort. So, but if, you know, other than those exceptions, if an employee's or a borrower did reduce the number of employees, there will be a reduction in full forgiveness. And then the other aspect is if you, as a borrower, reduced the compensation of any employee more than 25%, that additional amount beyond 25%, that is a reduction as well. So, for example, if you have an employee and they're making $1,000 per week and you cut their compensation to $700 a week, so that's a 30% reduction, that additional $50, which would be more than the 25% reduction, that's actually reduced from the amount that you could ultimately be forgiven. So some people probably wonder, you know, why do we need to make this so complex? you know, Mark and I kind of wonder that sometimes, but it's important to remember that all this is designed to really motivate the businesses to keep their employees and to keep their employee wages as high as they can.
Now, a key question that has come up, and this is especially noteworthy with the recent changes that were enacted, and that is moving it from the 8 weeks and expanding it. So can a business that, let's say, took the money, rehire their people first in July or August, and then still qualify for the loan forgiveness portion of PPP?
They can if they're planning to use the that 24-month time frame mm-hmm. For forgiveness.
Got it.
So that would be fine.
Okay. And I want to remind the listeners, because many will be tuned in, of course, this Sunday night, but many will be listening on the podcast channels. The info shared is as of midweek, June 15th, and changes are happening and being issued by the federal government, so make sure to check in on the date that you are listening to this particular podcast. Also, as always, make sure to check with your local professional financial advisor for any specific guidance that you might be seeking. Michael, here is another key question, if I may, and that is, and Mark, feel free to weigh in on this. Now that we have a general understanding of the PPP and especially the forgiveness portion of it, let's shift to what the process will be like for a borrower to apply for forgiveness.
Sure. I'll start with kind of the general process, and then I'll hand it to Mark, and he can speak to how investors is kind of working with their borrowers around forgiveness. So the process really starts with a borrower submitting an application. So Treasury a while ago actually released an application form, which helps us kind of understand what is expected of the borrower, what's expected of the lender through this process. And then subsequent to that, we had the change in legislation, which adjusted these dates and some of the specifics around forgiveness. And borrower, so I'm glad you reminded everyone of the timing of when we're recording this, because as of this date, the SBA has not released the new form. So there's still some questions we have that we think the new form and subsequent Q&A will probably address. But basically, the borrower is going to complete the application. There's going to be some certifications that are required on their part when they submit the form to their lender. And certifications cover things such as if the information in the application is true, that they use the funds as they said they did, that the supporting evidence is valid and correct. And then they're going to provide some supporting documentation to the lender as well that really evidences that they use the proceeds in alignment with how forgiveness has been requested and just evidences that they did what they said they did. So, Mark, do you want to comment on how Investors is handling this?
Yeah, just to start off, I think one thing to everyone's benefit is this is not a race to forgiveness. The way it was a race to get funded, people had fears that the money was going to run out. In this case, you need to take your time. You need to get professional advice, your accountant, your bookkeeper, your attorney, should help you with this process. I think at our bank and hopefully other banks that are helping other people and other clients, we all have our own portals, which should help take the client through the whole application process by just filling it in more of a questionnaire format to make it a little bit easier. Eventually, you will get down to the actual application, which, you know, calls for a lot of detailed information that, as I said before, you should have either your payroll company will do a lot of the calculation work for you. If you have an ADP or a Paychex or even a smaller firm, most of them are doing it now since round one. And that would be, I guess, Mike, they would call it a PPP payroll statement, you know, so these firms actually know what they're looking for. And then your accountant would probably easily take you through this quickly. And then it's about, you know, uploading in our portal, you can upload all of these documents. They put them in a way that makes it easier for the bank to help you with this decision. And at the end of the day, you know, that's something that Crowe's also helping with us as far as, you know, the education of the client. We will be having, I believe, a webinar sometime next week, which will be offered to our clients to listen in and get a lot of advice on how they should move through this portal process or this questionnaire process that the bank has set up. And it'll be open to Q&A regarding actual bits and pieces of the program to hopefully make it easier on everybody to get through.
Yeah.
But it's not a race. Let's do it right is the message. We've set up a team of consultants. We're calling them loan forgiveness consultants for this process. Every one of our clients will be assigned a loan forgiveness consultant, and hopefully they'll be your guide through the process. And that's our approach. Hopefully it's not much different at our competitors that need to help people. You know, this is the first time for a lot of people, and they do need the assistance. And we want them, as Mike said before, we want them to get as much forgiveness as they're entitled to. And that's the goal at our bank.
And I'm just going to state the obvious as the host of Mind Your Business, a special thank you to Investors Bank for putting together tonight's program. You know, Mark, you're busy, you're one busy individual, especially these days. And of course, Mr. Percy at Crowe. And we are all grateful to Investors Bank for even tonight's show, which is just another indication of how you go above and beyond for the for businesses and individuals throughout the tri-state area. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Tonight's show, brought to you by Investors Bank, is featuring Mark Noto, Head of Commercial Banking at Investors, and Michael Percy, Managing Partner at Crowe LLP Financial Services Practice. Tonight's show is exclusively discussing the SBA's Payroll Protection Program, and both Michael and Mark shared very important perspective. I want to remind the listeners, for specific individual questions as it relates to your business, contact your individual financial advisor. That's just important advice overall, although tonight's show shared an incredible amount of advice that can help you get ahead in today's very difficult business climate. I'm going to open by turning to Michael here. You know, what happens once the bank approves the forgiveness amount? Is that it?
Nope, not quite done at that point.
Okay.
So once the bank approves, then they will submit the application on to the SBA. The SBA has up to 90 days to review the application and have their approval. And once they've approved it, they will actually send the approved forgiveness amount, which could be the entire amount, and interest related to that to the bank. So that may pay off the loan, or it may pay off most of the loan at that point.
Got it. Now, if I may, we've, you know, over the last few weeks, we have mentioned to the audience that we were going to have this special program, and there were a number of questions that came in from the audience. Perhaps I could bring two to your attention now. I'm going to direct this to Michael. One of them is from Mary in Clark, New Jersey. My business owns the building that we operate in. Can we still use the PPP funds to make the lease payments to the LLC? Again, she's obviously sounds like an owner-occupied type of operation.
Yeah, and the way she described it, too, shows that there's two different entities there. So rent is a permissible expenditure that you can get forgiveness against. And as long as the lease was entered into before that February 15th date, you know, based on the rules published so far, it's perfectly permissible to use that rent expense.
Got it. Here's another question from George. This is an interesting question. Do I need to burn through, okay, in quotes, do I need to burn through my PPP loan in order to be eligible to have the entire loan forgiven? That's a good question. You know, let's say there happens to be 20% left over. He didn't burn through the entire amount within a certain period. Can he still have it forgiven?
So he can have forgiven to the extent he used the proceeds in the permissible way. So it could be. So say you got a $100,000 loan and he used $80,000 for permissible purposes, that $20,000 he didn't use, that won't be forgiven, but he can just return it because he didn't need it. So the shift from the 8 weeks to 24 weeks is allowing a lot of borrowers to have a lot more time to have qualified expenditures to use the full amount of the loan proceeds. So that will probably happen less to people, but there'll still be cases where people just didn't have the expenditures because their business may have been closed for a decent part of that.
Mike, here's another interesting one. If a loan is not fully forgiven, what happens then? Again, similar to the previous question.
Sure. So for any amount that's not forgiven, just kind of goes back to the terms of the initial note. So borrowers have been in a payment deferral period through kind of the process of forgiveness, and then after that decision's been made, at that point it really just reverts back to the note, and the note will have terms around amortization or, you know, potentially balloon payment. It depends on kind of the note the borrower signed. On the initial loans, those all had a 2-year maturity on the loans that are being made now. That was one of the changes to the law. The maturity could be up to 5 years for those. So if someone kind of got one of these later loans, they could have a lot longer amortization. And then the borrower and the lender could agree with some modification if it was a two-year loan to go up to 5 years if both parties agreed to that.
Now, as we approach the close of the show, I have one final question for Michael, and then I'm going to turn back to Mark. Michael, what advice would you recommend for a business who received the PPP? What should they think about in terms of starting their preparation already at this point?
That's a really good question, because you don't really have to wait until you're ready to submit your application to do things. You can kind of do it as you go. So I would start preparing the supporting documentation for the amounts that you're going to be requesting forgiveness. And that will include things like bank statements or receipts and bills, canceled checks, the normal things that would just show how you use your money. Mm-hmm. And then if the borrower uses a payroll provider, I'd be reaching out to the payroll provider now to get an understanding of what kind of report they're going to be able to provide to you. A lot of the larger payroll providers will provide reports that really do a lot of that for you. And if you don't use a payroll provider, I'd probably reach out to your lender and say, hey, are there some tools or forms that you'd like me to be providing this information to you? And most lenders will have kind of their preferred way of receiving it. And you can just kind of fill that out as you're doing weekly or biweekly payroll and complete it as you go. And that way, when you get to forgiveness, you'll have all that documentation information ready to submit.
And Mark, we turn to you going forward. Perhaps you can share some good advice separate from the PPP about a business working with its bank.
Well, you know, I think personally, I've given this advice over my 35-year career. Mm. Yeah, I mean, right now it's not a normal time. We're going through a lot. Banks are going through a lot. The clients are definitely going through a lot. And in any troubled time, and we've been through it, around 9/11, for some, at least in the New York marketplace, we went through nothing like this pandemic, but it was a rough time, for New York, New Jersey, and the surrounding communities. But the most important message I could deliver to anybody is about communication. You know, if things aren't working out, if you need help, the last thing you want to do is not share the information with your banker. Reach out, see what's available. Let us know what you think you need to get through this period or this time. The worst thing you can do is clam up and ride this out alone. I speak for investors, but I'm sure other banks feel the same way. You know, we're a community bank. We need the clients. We make our livings off of the success of our clients. So we need to protect them. And, you know, they need to share whatever information, good, bad, or indifferent, with their banker so we can help. And I think that's the most important message. This isn't over at this point. It's going to be a slow grind back, and we're here for our client base. So just let's be vocal. You know, let's communicate often. You know, we call our clients, we check in on them. We make sure things are going as planned, or if they're not going as planned, you need to let us know as well. And that's, you know, my most important piece of advice I could give out to anybody or any client for any bank.
As we approach the close of tonight's very important program, a couple of just important mentions. The information recorded was as of midweek, June 15th. So if you're listening to a podcast, and of course, everyone out there, it's encouraged to listen to this one. Anyone that received PPP money, and for those that haven't and now realize that they could still want to join in, again, for it's still open for all intents and purposes through the end of June. June 26th is the last day for for many lenders, because that's the final weekend heading into the when the SBA intends on closing it again as of right now. Also, for specific guidance, as always, contact your local financial professional. Tonight's show was brought to you by Investors Bank. It was exclusively around the topic of the PPP. That's the Small Business Administration's Payroll Protection, Paycheck Protection Program. It featured the head of commercial banking at Investors Bank, Mark Noto, and Michael Percy, managing partner at Crow. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.